around the world, not just in this little community. So we appreciate all the people ones coming. Man, people coming in from all over. We sure appreciate you guys handling it. We fed a lot of people. Y'all did fed a lot of people, and we appreciate that. And we want to keep everything moving. We're not going to, as Brother Donnie's, we were talking a few minutes ago, you know, you can't crawl up and you can't curl up in a corner with your thumb in your mouth and say, oh, woe is me. This is a cycle of life. Brother Dale's job was finished. Our God would have left him here. So when it's time for us to move on and do the best we can until somebody's got to preach us out of here. If it ain't me, I hope I'm around when I hear the guy. And I hope I accept his message, the message of the hour, the way it was preached. But we still got a lot to do now. So we're not going to stop. We're not going to even pause. You can't pause. God don't pause. He carries on, all right? And like I said before, tragedy doesn't destroy a Christian. It defines a Christian. If you'll realize that, it defined everybody in the Bible. There's a defining moment in the Bible, and sometimes it's not good. Job, Jonah, all the different ones. Look at him. Samson. There's a defining moment in their life that they could have just curled up and said, God, I'm done. But no, they persevered enough to where God thought enough of them to write them in the Bible and give us an example to carry on. So we're going to carry on, do the best we can, and we pray that you'll support us. And we'll all support each other. We have a wonderful ministry here and a good group of people. I want to thank the ones, Anderson and different ones, Brother Anderson, Brother Joe. A lot of them are already at camp. They'll be gone this week. And Brother Bob and Brother Luis and them will be leaving tonight after church, heading on up. So they did a wonderful job in getting it out to where they give a good quality product that people could watch. And Brother Joe put all that slideshow together, and we sure appreciate them. So, and we love you with the love of the Lord. Couldn't have done it. You know, Brother Dale couldn't have done it without you guys because he'd have just preached the four walls if there's nobody sitting in here. But there's a lot of people that he met on that other side that afternoon that he had preached them into that place of rest. And I love what Brother Richard said. He said, Brother Dale knew where to go. He wasn't lost at the river. He knew exactly where to go. So I appreciate Brother Richard and all them. And I've already told them that we appreciate them doing that. So the sign-up sheet downstairs to go to Brother Andre's is about 40 of you already signed up. We'll take as many as we can. So if you want to go, sign up. Don't wait till the last minute because we got to find motels and different places to stay. Just remember that if you want to go. Even if you don't know if you're going yet, if you want to go, put your name down so we can start finding some motels and stuff. We'll have a good time. They probably do much, all the work, food and all. We send them money to buy that because they're a small church. And then we're going to bring up there as many as they've got. So that'll double the place up. But they really are looking forward to it. And Brother Andre said, you want to not do it? I said, why? You plan on going somewhere else? Unless we go into rapture, we coming. All right, we ain't stopping nothing. I hated to call off service Sunday, but I knew we'd never one of us, our minds would be in a different place on Sunday after the service. So we just kind of took off. Actually, me and June took off and went to Brother Donnie Reagan's meetings and had a good time up there meeting people we hadn't met in a long time. They honored Brother Dale, give him a hand clap, standing. Everybody was standing up that they announced that he had passed away and had the funeral service. So we sure appreciate the bride around the world. We're going to see him here in a little while in August. We're going to have the camp meeting. If anybody'd like to go, I think we're going to go for a day or so. So if you'd like to go, just it's in Ruth, North Carolina, or Rutherford, North Carolina. It's always first week in August, full week. So we'll have a lot of missionaries. Brother Keith Reed will be here the week before. And Brother George Quinn will be here the week after. So those two Sundays we'll have ministers come. Like Dad said, he in August, he's a scheduler. He's not a preacher. He just scheduled people coming in and out, you know. So we'll see how that goes. But also pray for Brother Luis. They're leaving Thursday, going to Honduras next Thursday. So they'll be gone for a little while. So pray for Brother Luis. If you got a little something to hand him and give him, you know, a few dollars here or there, it sure would help. The church is paying for the trip part of that. So if you want to give him a little extra, I'm sure it will go toward Brother Luis is one that I like him and Brother Bernard. I can really put my faith in what he does with what we give him. So I have a lot of faith in what he does down there in Honduras. So man said one time, if you love a flower, don't pick it up. Because if you pick it up, it dies. And it ceases to be what you love. So if you love a flower, let it be. Love is not about possession. Love is about appreciation. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this night you've given us, Lord, in the middle of the week. I pray that you'd strengthen us now, Lord, for the journey ahead of us, Lord, and just put us where we need to be. Put the right words in my mouth tonight, Lord, that'll help someone. And, Lord, may we just invite you, Lord, to just take over this service, Lord, and continue the work. Lord, it's the foundation of what we have of our father and pastor, Lord. I pray that you'd be with the people that are here, Lord. Be with the ones that are under the sound of my voice. And, Lord, bless the ones that are sin-sick, Father. This is a late hour. They got to get in, and it's just we're going to preach, and we're going to preach until we can't preach anymore and put some salvation in it because, hey, people need to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us now and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. I told somebody this weekend, I said, I am expecting something to happen. I don't know what it is, but I'm expecting something to happen. Brother Brown preached expectations. Go listen to that. If you're expecting to just, you know, this is Wednesday night and I didn't feel good, so I ain't coming to church, and Sunday, well, that's just an anniversary meeting, and I think I'll just take my kids and go to the mountains. You'll get what you expect. I promise you. If you're a true Christian, you'll want to be in church. The ones that said amen, I believe them. One of y'all that didn't, I don't know about that. So let's, it's your confession with the what? With your mouth. All right, let's look at, we're going to talk about the Philadelphian church age tonight. If they'll pull it up on the screen, we will begin to read here in Revelation 1, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write it in a book. Thank God he put it together so that we can have it today, 2,000 years after it was written. And it's accurate. There's a lot of things been written 2,000 years ago, not very accurate. This is accurate. This is eternal. Unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, we're now in the Philadelphian church age, and unto Laodicea. Now, we live in the Laodicean age, and we'll get to that a little bit later on. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. You may be seated, and I'll read this. I was thinking, when Brother Richard was speaking there on Saturday, Brother John, there was a lot of different denominations sitting in that room, and some of the denomination of their own self. So, you know, so when Brother Richard started talking about Son of God and Son of Man, I'm sure they probably, it just went. Listen, but we're required. We're required to be under the Son of Man ministry. If you're in the end time and you're in the message of the hour, you got to understand that that word is going to be made flesh in me and you. Not somebody else, not somebody to come, but in me and you. All right, if you don't believe that, then we need to get in the altar and start praying. We need to go outside, maybe in the quietness of the woods or something, and just pray and say, God, I don't understand this. Show it to me. And you know what? If you got the Holy Ghost, he is obligated to show you an answer. And he's going to put somebody in the pulpit to give you that answer. All right? So just remember, though, that God is a dispensationalist. And remember, I was thinking today, we're going through all these church ages. Now, we went through Sardis, which was what? That was the age of justification. All right? The just shall live by faith. Your justification is you got to believe that God Dead away with all your past sins. If you don't believe that, you can't move to sanctification. You can't believe it. You got to be a believer to believe that he don't even know about him anymore. Amen. Put in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. But now remember, that same old demon is still there. He just got a black eye. He's not dead. He just got a black eye. And you're moving on toward God. And that's when Martin Luther said, the just shall live by faith, not penance, not works, not what? The Bible says, lest any man should boast. Oh, I did this and I did that. No, the just shall live by faith. It didn't matter. I was looking at some quotes of Brother Branham. He said, you know, God could have given everything to Caiaphas, but he gave it to a fisherman. He couldn't even write his name. Gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. He could have given it to Caiaphas, but he didn't. He could have given all these great things to these other great people, but he didn't. He gave it to the lowly. He gave it to the meek. He gave it to the ones that are, that what? That are open, that open said, hey, just God, give it to me, whatever you got.
Right.
All right? And remember, the things that they needed, God already gave it to them.
Right. Amen.
Gideon had that ox goat around him the whole time. Because
right.
He was poking his cattle and whatever else around. He just didn't know he was going to whip about 300 Philistines with that or whoever it was. He got tired. He got sick and tired of being run over.
Right.
Are we going to be sick and tired of being run over by the devil? Or are we just going to keep, like Brother Jewel said, wowsy, wowsy, woo, just keep going over and over, living this thing over again? Somewhere there's got to be a victory. There is victory in the message of the hour, but there's more victory in Jesus Christ. Amen? The victory's in Jesus Christ. And then this is the icing on the cake.
Right.
The cake is Jesus Christ. The message is the icing on the cake. Amen? Cake's pretty good, but I like some icing on it. Like a lot. Like all that stuff y'all fixed this past weekend. I had to buy some new clothes. I was allergic to it. It made me swell. That's my story. Or June either put it in the dryer too long. But no, the food, I mean, we're still eating it, and we sure appreciate all that. And if it wasn't good, we wouldn't tell you, but it was delicious. It was absolutely delicious, and we keep eating it. I told Josh that we were at my house a minute ago, and I opened up we have one in the back, a refrigerator in the back with a freezer. And I opened it up, and I said, it's like a restaurant. We got all kinds of stuff in them trays, you know, stacked on top of each other in the refrigerator. So, but thank God that we had all that to eat and fed all those people and had some left over, and we sure appreciate that. Revelation 3, verse 7. Now, we're going to get into Philadelphian church age. Now, that church age is getting really close to Laodicea, where we are now. This church age is going to bump right up against the Laodicean church age, all right? And we'll read when it starts and when it ends tonight, and we won't be too long. So, Revelation 3, 7 says, to the angel of the church of Philadelphia. Now, who was the angel? We know that was John Wesley. All right? We'll get to that in a second. A man that preached eight hundred sermons like a month or a year, or 800 sermons a year. 4,800 sermons, I think, in a stretch of time. He got up at 5 o'clock in the morning. He slept 6 hours, got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, started preaching. Some of y'all do too, but it might not be very well. Until the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Who all is morning people around here? Yeah, that's what I thought, one. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. We're going to see that this is one of the greatest missionary ages. It wasn't just, remember, it was mainly Martin Luther. But then Martin Luther, they made a print press. So Martin Luther could put his words in on a paper. But then what John Wesley did, John Wesley started sending people out with that message. The Bible was already put together by Luther. So the print presses and all these different things, transportation was getting better and all these different things. So this was, Brother Brown said, the greatest missionary age. It had to get the word out. All right, and remember, this is the age of sanctification, because if we go through just justification, you can die and go to hell. Come on, somebody. You can be sanctified, die and go to hell. But you can't have the new birth and not die and go to hell. But you got to have each one to get the new birth. All right? I know that works. That's why I'm spending more time on these three ages, because Brother Brown said they complete the birth. Your birth is justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? Everybody with me? Right. All right? No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. Now, little strength, and hast kept my word and not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not. They're liars, but they do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. We need that now. Which shall come upon all the world. Now the hour of temptation has come upon all the world. To try them that dwell upon the earth. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. This is the trying time. You better know that you know that you know. Now remember, we don't shut the door. God opened it. God shut it. In Noah's time, Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door. All right? Behold, I come quickly, and hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. To him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So we're in the age of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 church age, which is Wesley. We've seen Luther. Luther is going to carry over into Wesley. The porter for that age is Wesley. He comes in that overlap time. We'll tell you his birth and death in a minute, but he was born in like 1701 and died in the middle of that somewhere. So he was right in the middle of that church age. So some of that carried over. Brother Brown will verify that in just a little bit, but we're now almost at the last church age. But Brother Brown makes a statement, and I'll read it to you just a little bit later. I want you to think in your mind. He said, the last three ages completes the birth. Now, that doesn't mean they weren't born again back here. Right. All right? They were born again back here. They had the new birth just like you do. It's just it was held down and bound by the word that they held. Okay? Everybody with me? Same way with me and you. I mean, we can bind it too. Even with the Holy Ghost. You can grieve it. If Brother Bram said to go out and go on a limb out and sit out there and say, all right, I'll come back when you clean up a little bit. Amen. I'm not coming out of your soul because you're born again. But you, that spirit realm, you have been doing some things you really shouldn't be doing. Right. Amen. I'm sorry. That just happens to me. If it doesn't happen to you guys, that's okay. Pray for me. One day we're going to have to cut that limb off. Keep him from going out there as we keep him in us, body, spirit, and soul. Amen. All right? So we got now, we're almost in, we are in the man anointing. This is where this thing always gets stuck. Josh. Guess what? We're going to start over again. Ta-da. Technology. If I had my notes, this wouldn't happen. I'm like Luis, you know, you get your notes. And I want you to watch. We've been talking about a dominating female, about the church. I want you to know that we're not talking about the female as far as you sisters, because you type the bride just like we do. All right? But if you got your position, you're not a dominating female, all right? You have your place. You have your position. But if you dominate the man, and that's what's been doing the church, the female part of the church has been trying to dominate the male, which is Jesus Christ, all right? So it happened in all the ages. But now you see we come down, and when we get to Laodicea is a woman's age. It's a woman's number. A woman runs everything in this age. Why? It's come to the apex of dominating. It's a dominating fit. They don't want Jesus Christ. Listen, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament. The Bible says, let us take your name. Seven women, seven churches take hold of one man, Jesus Christ, and said, hey, let us take your name, but we're not going to do what you tell us to do. Come on. We're not going to do what you tell us to do. We're going to have our own way. Me. I'll do it my way, and you just let us call us Miss Jesus. Well, that's what they're doing now. But they're wretched, blind, miserable, naked, and don't know it. And so are we until the revelation comes of the end time message to open up the full entire Bible or the opening of the seals as we see here. So remember the opening of the seals, we're going to get back to it when Brother Branham preaches them when we get into that church age. But remember, everything we've been talking about has been talking about a loosing. There's something been bound, but there's a loosing. Brother Claude and I were talking the other day. You know, we talk about those 200,000 demons that were released into the world. And then Brother Brown said they're released on me and you. Yes. What to do, though? Not to destroy us, but to drive us back to the homeland. Because that's what happened in Eichmann and Hitler and different ones. But 200,000 demons that were withheld just for this age. Just for me and you. But we will overcome. Because we have the word. We have the open book. The devil can't hide behind the true word of God. He can hide behind a fable. He can hide behind a false religion. That's why God hates false doctrine. Because Satan can hide behind it. Because he's the author of anything false. God's never the author of anything false. He's all true. Everything he says is true. Amen. He don't have to ever take it back. Amen. Praise God. We don't have to make excuses for this message. We don't have to make excuses for the way we live in this Bible. Amen. If you make excuses, you never had an experience.
Right. Amen. Right.
So let's not preach. Let's just go back to teaching a little bit here. So the opening of the first three seals, we see that there was a ministry loosed. A horse went out. But also when that horse went out, there was already someone standing there, or there was a lion anointing already standing there. Because he said, John, come and see. And then out goes the white horse rider. Right? Then we look and see that we keep on going, that he bluffed his way through the church. It became a saying, then a deed, then a doctrine. And I go back to where James says, when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. When sin's finished, it brings forth death. It's death to begin with, but we're all born in sin. We all born sinners, right? But there's a way out. If you continue in sin, Paul said, do we continue in sin that grace may abound where just grace covers everything? No, there's no grease in grace. There's no greasy grace. There is grace, but there's not greasy grace. But he bluffed his way through the true church. Then we come to the next seal. When it opened, the second beast, which is the ox, it comes out and says, hey, come and see, John, because there's something coming a little bit different. He's changed his horse, or he's changed his power. All right, so the second beast, the ox beast, in the fourth church age. All right, everybody with me? Fourth church age. Was that ox anointing of labor, longest church age there was. We just got finished with it. They just barely had enough strength to make it through. If they called herself a Christian, they died. So that's why that horse was red and power was given. And what happened, God allowed Satan to then have a voice or a sword or something to use or a doctrine. See, tonight and all the true ministers, they're taking that sword and they're trying to cut that bad out of you. They're trying to cut that bad out of all of us. And then let us heal by the word of God. Cut that bad thing out that we've been doing. But they should kill one another. What a great killing. 68 million. Population of California and Texas was obliterated by the Catholic Church because you called yourself a Christian. So now we are here in the fifth church age. It starts as a man anointing because look, the man anointing during that time is intelligence. It's up here. It's intelligence. All right? And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast, which was the man anointing, tell John, come and see. And I beheld it was a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. And thank God for Jesus Christ. Because that's Jesus Christ telling us. That's not one of the four beasts. That's not John. If you'll read your church age book, Brother Brown said that was Jesus Christ screaming out saying, hey, don't hurt the oil and wine. Right. Don't hurt my people. And there was enough hurt going on.
Right. Right.
But now the black horse rider was the Antichrist, but the one who was speaking at that age was represented as man. And that's the wisdom, smart, shrewd. Man started doing it, making inventions. I read you the whole thing about it. So the Sardesian church age, remember, it started out, I know your works. You got a name that you're living, but you're dead. I've not found thy works perfect. Remember, as we talked about Luther, this is what Brother Branham said. As Luther crystallized the doctrine of justification by faith, they held works. Think about a man, though. One man. He goes against the whole system. It's kind of like Moses going against Egypt. There's not a chance in the world that you would get any kind of odds in your favor. But Moses destroyed a whole nation with a stick. And so did Luther. He destroyed a whole doctrine. Now, he didn't kill it. He heard it, but he didn't kill it. But he heard it enough to where he pulled out and started reforming or starting the work of restoration in that church age number five. And as the freed Christians glorified the Son, remember, Roman Catholics, they love Mary. If you'll just keep reading about Mary, they just revere Mary, and they don't even talk about Jesus Christ. Amen. How horrible is that? Now, you're about a dominating female. Now, Mary herself was not a dominating female, but they made her one by their doctrine. Right. And that's what a doctrine does. It makes something false seem true. Is that right? But it's the doctrine, absolutely, the Babylonians wanted the son carrying the mother. We already covered that. Remember Martin Luther. Brother Bram said Martin Luther was one of the greatest preachers of the time, because what did he do? He stood up against this whole system. He stood up against every church on every corner. He stood up against every Catholicism doctrine. Every time a priest would come, he would blast them. Remember, they put a hit out on him, and they would have killed him if God hadn't saved him. They were going to take him out. But they couldn't do it. Listen, Satan can't take you out until God's done with you. If you're a Christian, if, as Brother Richard said this weekend, if's a big word. If you're a Christian, you never will end your journey until God says, I'm done with you. Because remember, I don't know if you know this or not, God never makes a mistake. Somebody ought to preach that every once in a while. So Martin Luther stood and said, the just shall live by faith, not by this. Not by this doctrine that I was part of it. Listen, if you were in a system, you were part of it too. You believed there was three gods or a trinity. You were believed in a different baptism. I say some of you that went through the Baptist church and Methodist church and different ones. We all had that same thing, but we had to stand one day and see that true justification was the just shall live by faith, not by that works that they're telling us to do. So Martin Luther said, this is what I'm preaching, and this is what God was perfect. Listen, God's always perfect, but he was perfect in what Luther was saying. Luther was telling them the truth. Now, he had other things that were different, that he had a false baptism and different things, but God winked at that. God wasn't looking at that time. He wasn't expecting perfection at that time. This age, he is expecting perfection. Because we can look back to Luther, see the mistakes he made, see that his justification is mine and your justification in a baby form. And we got to have that just to get our journey started. Not to get born again by. For therein the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's what Luther was reading this same thing. Because he's the one that took it in Latin and put it into German at one time, and then they put it into English. So he was reading this, and he said, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. In other words, if you draw back into that old thing you've been doing, that old doctrine that you've been doing, that old thing you've been doing in the past, if you go back to that, listen, God don't go back. Now, he will show you where you started, but he's not going to keep you there. Your journey's up here. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, they were reformers. They were not restorers. God promised us that we would be restored, but he had to do it with reformers. Because remember, when Luther preached, this, I praise God, every time I read this, Brother Aaron, I look over here at our prophet in the end time. He was not a reformer. He didn't try to make them better by saying something. No, the power of God was on that man to take and deliver you from what you were up against. And he delivered. He didn't do it, but God through him, thousands and hundreds of thousands of people were saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and healed through their natural body by that man's words. God used that man. So Luther was against works as means of salvation and baptism as means of regeneration. He taught the mediation of Christ apart from man, as was the original and Pentecostal concept. Because what did they do? They had already took it and put it in a pope, or put it in their bishops, or put it in their, you know, you do so many novenas and you go confess. And I've always said that's why the mafia loved to be Catholics. Every one of them's Catholic. Why? They can go to confession and say, look, man, I'm going to take this guy out tomorrow. And the priest goes, well, bless you, you'll say 25 Hail Marys and put about $50,000 under the table and you'll be fine. At least, you know what? We laugh. They believed it. They believed it all the way to hell. But thank God we've come out of that. What stirred his heart by the Holy Ghost, which was the little green shoot, as we were explaining the other week, the two little shoots, that is corn. It's the life of the corn, but it's not the full grain. It's part of it, piece of it, all right? So we're trying to get it back to the church at Pentecost because that Holy Ghost fell on sons. It fell on mature people that was with Jesus for 3.5 years. That was a full corn of ear of corn in that church age, the first church age. But what happened is God had to let it die and go on the ground because he'd already said it. And then you got Joel. Joel would have never been brought into being. The book of Joel where it says what? I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. But he said what? I'm going to restore everything back. That's why Brother Branham was restoration, not reformation. All right? And praise God, we're part of that. I love being associated with it. I don't know about you, but I was proud to be a believer at the end time message this past weekend, sitting there listening to Brother Richard and different ones speaking and Josh's friend, Doug, he got out of the service and he told Josh, he said, wow, I never seen that before. Well, he'd been to a funeral to where they just, they speak or say a few words and play a couple of songs and ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And I told him, I said, you ain't going to see it. You know, he was surprised. It was a sermon. We got a sermon preached to us on Saturday. Brother Richard preached a sermon, and we responded to it. I mean, most of the time you don't get that, but you know what? Get it while you can. They were there. Preach to them. They can't say they never heard it now. When you start talking about a body change, you talk about taking that body and making it eternal, you talk about going into another dimension, you talk about all those things, and it's just weird to them. But to me and you, we shouted amen, because we knew what he was talking about. Amen. We knew who the scripture was talking about all those things. Right. Amen. So praise God. It's not. It shouldn't make your head swell up. It shouldn't make you, you sit there with your head down going, God, why me and why not them? Amen. But thank God for the two little shoots, because remember, when you got born again, that's all you had. You had two little shoots. You were just struggling to get out of the ground and you had two shoots, but you had life in you potentially. You had the wheat, corn, the wheat corn, the kernel. Right. Remember, potentially. But remember, if you'll read in the Bible, Jesus talks about the tares and all these different things, putting a seed into this kind of ground, that kind of ground. You can actually, you can't have your salvation taken away from you, all right? Is everybody with me? But you can lose the joy of it, for one thing. And for another thing, if you just get justified and you don't keep going on, you're going to hell anyway. You won't go to hell for the sins you did before because God is just. That's why it's called justification. Just to forgive you for that because you asked him. God, I didn't mean to do that. Forgive me, Lord. And he's just to forgive you. Put it away, not ever remember it again, but the next day, there's another recording turned on. All right? That's why Luther's justification in this age will not get you to heaven. Now, if you died, you understand deathbed confession and all this. I don't have to explain all this. If you're alive today and you're listening to me or you're listening to somebody else, you can't say, God, I don't know any difference. I just was justified, but I went right back to doing what I was doing. No, you can't do that. Because God's going to hit play and he's going to play a tape where somebody's going to say, you need to be sanctified. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I thank God for all the baptism we've had and all the different things. But I want the Holy Ghost to come on people. I want the Holy Ghost to be inside of you doing the work. Not just sitting here in a church just paying attention sometimes. Luther will forever be known as the instrument in the hand of God who revived this truth. He was the fifth messenger, and his message was, the just shall live by faith. It's been called by the historians the period of Reformation. That is exactly right. That is what it is. It had to be that, for Martin Luther was a reformer, not a prophet. Now, what does a prophet do? A prophet restores back what was lost.
Right. Amen.
He restores back what was lost. All those years that were lost, according to Joel, the different cankerworm, palmworm, and all that, Brother Branham stood in a time to where he brought every bit of that back. That's why he was a prophet. He was not a reformer. He was a restorer of the Word of God. He didn't bring anything different. He restored back what had been lost. Then there's a revealing of the seven seals that nobody had until the end time. Yeah, we'll get into that. So he was not able to lead the church back to the whole truth as would a man like the Apostle Paul. Now remember, you got your bookends. You got Alpha and Omega, Paul and Brother Branham, they had to have the same message. But Paul didn't have a message. That's what thrills my soul. Paul didn't have a message to turn your body back. Paul didn't have a message. He preached about resurrection. He preached about the change of the body, but he knew he wasn't going to come to it. It had to be in the end time. So he was able to lead the church back, was not able to lead them back to the whole truth, as was a man like Brother Branham. That's why we revere him as a prophet. Right. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet.
Right.
Not Elijah the whoever, Elijah the prophet. And then Elisha was a prophet also. But we'll get into that a little bit later when we start into Brother Branham. Ministry, we'll talk about how that Elisha and Elijah came about. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. In other words, the word does not call it a restoration, but it's called reformation. Had it been a restoration, that age would have been another Pentecostal age, but it wasn't. They held on to a lot of different doctrines. Even Martin Luther held on to a lot of doctrines that were false. The best that could be said of it, strengthen that which remains that is ready to die. There was something missing. Yes, there certainly was. This age had justification, but it missed sanctification. Now, look, if you take that, now there's people in the message a long time ago, not so now, around when Dad was coming up, different ones, said that you know, Luther didn't have anything, Wesley didn't, because Brother Brown says right here they had justification. But they missed sanctification. Now remember, their justification was the new birth for their time.
Right.
That's right. It wasn't time for full restoration.
Right.
It was time to reform the people to at least get their mindset. Listen, God's perfect.
Amen.
He knows how to lead me and you from one thing to the next thing, to the next thing, and to the next thing.
Amen.
And if it was different, he'd have made it different.
Right.
You see, I can understand. Then you got a problem. Because God wrote this so every person on the face of the earth can get born again by this right here.
Amen.
If you can't, you're not born again. But you have a chance to get born again. Get in the Bible.
Right.
If you can't understand the prophet's message, read your Bible.
Right.
Then ask God to direct you to where Brother Branham give you the amplified version of it.
Right.
Come on, somebody. They didn't have this in any other age. We've got all kind of information that we can get to. On you. I don't have one. I'm not... It'd just be something else I'd mess up to get an Apple Watch. But I see y'all, sometimes you do this, and what it is your watch turned on, and you got a message, and you're reading the message and you're on your phone, on your... Hello, somebody. Am I telling the truth, or am I telling a lie? Hello!
Amen.
Thank you. You don't have to do this when the phone goes off. You do that when your arm goes off. And you start reading the text, and you're doing this, you know. But anyway, but we have this information, so why not use the information for God instead of for the devil? All right? That's the reason there's a church. It's the temple of God filled with God, even the Holy Ghost. The same spirit that was in Jesus while he was here on earth, causing him to do the mighty works which he did, came back on the church at Pentecost. He couldn't be different. But what happened at Pentecost, after Pentecost, man started getting their own ideas in it and just tore the word apart.
Right.
So there had to be a start of reformation to ease us out. Ease us into sanctification. Ease us into the new birth. All right? Is everybody with me? Listen, or God would have done it another way. We've got to depend. From about a month or two ago, I said, you just got to depend on what God said.
Amen.
If you can't depend on what God said, who else are you going to depend on? Let me have his name, number, and let me have his website and his email address. I'd like to talk to that person. But nobody but God has all the answers.
Right. Amen.
This age did not have those words. Oh, they had the written word, but not the revealed word. That was the Reformation period. But fear not, little flock. What'd he say? I'm going to restore. And this reform was going to be the start of it. He was going to, according to his promise, take the church back from the depths of Satan in the Dark Ages to the depths of God that they had at Pentecost. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about his age. In the first few years of the existence of the church. So you know what the meaning of not perfect is? It's unfulfilled. This age was an unfulfilled age. Why? They didn't have enough word to do this right here. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her. Church, come out of her, my people. If you hear his voice, you will come out if you're his people.
Amen.
Not everybody is his people.
Amen.
You got to know that you know that you know that you're that person. That you be not partakers of her sin. At that point in time, he's really not worried about yours. He's worried about what you're coming out of. God, forgive me for thinking like that. Forgive me if you ever, like Brother Dale said many times before, if you ever thank God for what you got.
Amen.
That he's took you out of false doctrine, that other people are sitting in it.
Right.
And they're what? They're giving their life for it.
Right.
For her sin reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquity. Remember, God hates. Yes, God hates. God hates false doctrine. He's nowhere around it. He can't stand it. He hates Nicolaitism. He hates denominations. He hates all that stuff. But he loves his bride.
Amen.
He loves the part of the word that we are. Now, the Holy Spirit's been bound by the denominations all these 2,000 years. We find out, notice the Sabbaths, seven Sabbaths, they couldn't get all the way out. Now, we'll explain this a little bit more when we get into the part where Brother Brown brings a message. Because as we've been talking, we're sitting here today in a lot of CNAs. Everybody all right with that? We're sitting here lazy. I don't want to say the word fat, but we have need of nothing. Think about that. I pulled up in a car that was worth more than the first two houses I had bought when me and June got married. So we're hurting. Yeah, right. But the Holy Spirit's been bound by the what? By the denominations for 2,000 years. And we noticed the Sabbaths. Now, what was seven Sabbaths? Seven Sabbaths. Every seventh Sabbath, there was a release. So Paul comes up. He is in one part of the church age. There was a release, but you couldn't go all the way because it was only seven. But the Bible, according to Leviticus 25:8, you got to have seven of those Sabbaths, seven of those church ages to have your golden jubilee. Because if you stay in sevens, seven times seven is 49. So 49 is not the golden jubilee. You and I, when you got born again, you entered into that golden jubilee by the soul. But you got to realize that what you got in your soul today is what's going to take you out of here. It's what's going to take you either into another dimension if you need to go, or it's going to change your body right here. But they couldn't get all the way out. In other words, they didn't have enough word to get everything out of that denomination. Same way with John Wesley. I'll read you a quote here in just a minute. He was scared that when he died, they'd make a denomination out of what he had. He was scared. Now, we know Brother Branham said every time they died, they denominated. Martin Luther, John Wesley, before he died, he said, I am afraid they're going to make this a denomination. Scared him to death is what they said. So I will restore. So the first three ages had the pure word of God. All right? Satan was still there, but the power of the word took over. Then in the fourth church age, it went into the ground. It actually died. They killed them, 68 million of them. But according to John 12, if it didn't go in the ground, the Son of Man wouldn't be able to come back in the end time. So thank God. This is kind of weird. Thank God for those martyrs. They had to go in the ground. They had to give their life for the gospel. They had to do it because me and you are standing right here now. Because when is the Son of Man glorified? In the end time. But that Son of Man, before Paul comes on the scene, the Son of Man was standing on the earth. Right? He had to go in the ground and die, literally, come back to life, and then he poured himself out in the church ages, or poured himself out in the first three ages, and then it began to, what, the four worms started eating it down. By denominational ideas. And then what happened? I will restore to you the years that the, and let me say this, false doctrine eat in the church ages. The false shepherds, the false teaching, the false churches, they eat away at the word of God. My great army I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Look, when all this restoration, this is what we're getting. And praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. If you're ashamed of this gospel, amen, you need to get born again. Right. If you're ashamed to walk in Walmart with your modest clothes on. Brother Chris Long, I hope he's not watching. But he'll be here tomorrow. He's coming in early. He's your brother Jules preaching tonight. But he told me, he said, you know, he went with us when we went on that fishing trip and stayed in Helen. Well, he said, I'm going to take Joanna tomorrow and let her look around in Helen. It's going to be 99 degrees. Some of y'all that's been there, I told Brother Chris, I said, you better put you on some sunglasses. Because I'll promise you, you're going to probably see 10,000 people. And they ain't even going to be clothed as much as Sister Joanna. About as much material she got on, it'd be 10,000 that don't have them on. But that's the world, and they don't mind. They just go do whatever they want to do, and it doesn't matter to them. It doesn't bother them. It doesn't bother, you know the old man going, the river, going down the river. But he just wanted to show her. Actually, you know why he's going? You know, do y'all know the movie? Have you ever seen the movie, I'll Climb the Highest Mountain? Google it. Geez, I thought y'all was, man. Did anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on. It's a good black and white movie. Ain't got no cussing in it. Ain't got no fussing in it. It's 100 years old. But they made it in Helen. The church, the white church, is that one right up there at Robertstown, sitting right there where all the zip line and all that is. That white church is the church that guy pastored. What it was is, I think his son died or something. If you go back to Nora Mill, the grist mill right there on the side of the road where the water comes down, that's where the little boy drowns. So anyway, praise the Lord. Some people. I'll guarantee you, you'll know what superhero was on the movies about a month or two ago, but you don't know about Climb the Highest Mountain. But it's about a minister coming, and that's all. It's all filmed in Helen. And it was filmed probably back in the 50s. But anyway, he wanted to take Joanna and show her because they'd watched the movie. Praise the Lord, somebody did. I mean, it probably wasn't a top 10, but it was a movie made up there. And it had some religious connotations. It was a minister and his wife and, going up there to a country church and just watch it. It'll be okay. Y'all watch something else. Color, people ain't got no clothes on, but you want to watch his in black and white. Moffitt said, I will make up to you the years. God says, I've not wasted it. You've wasted it. You've wasted those years, but I'm going to be gracious and make them up for you. I'm going to make them up to you. Amen. The New American Bible says, and I will repay you for the years. But he had to wait and stop. Now, God don't stop. We know that. But the word had to stop him enough to where that could go in the ground and die. So it could come back up and what? Bring forth much fruit. So in the end time, the Son of Man's got to come back just like he was over here. So it had to come the same way. Now remember Ezekiel 47. We see that Luther now, we have enough of his writings and Wesley's writing. They preached a progressive revelation. That's why I thank God. And I know all the other ministers like Brother Richard and Brother Harris. That's what Dad was known for. Sure, he was known for being intellect, but and all those other bad things, but it's just people didn't understand him. You know why? They were lazy. They preached hair and dress, and God sent a prophet. That's all. There was more to that. He read Ezekiel. Progressive revelation. Ankles. We love ankle walk deep water, but you can't do a lot with it. Then you got water to the knees. Then you got water to the loins. Justification. Sanctification. Loins, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's where the reproduction is. Everybody with me? Then the headstone comes. The water was where you can swim in it. That's what we need. We need so much revelation till it'll almost drown you. If you don't want it, then I'm sorry. You're in the wrong place. But my dad preached a progressive revelation, and he preached where Brother Richard could see it, and all the different ones that listened to him, and all the thousands that he'll never know that heard him overseas. But it's a progressive revelation that listen, I'm going to say this whether you like it or not. Real, true, genuine, born again, end time believers lives on progressive revelation. You can be sanctified and just have a, woo, glory, Brother Branham, Brother Branham, Brother Branham, and die and go to hell. But you can't have progressive, true, progressive revelation and it not be of God. And you not be of God. He's not going to waste his revelation on the devil's kids. Well, you can get quiet if you want to. But it's the truth anyhow. I stand here today on the foundation that we've got to move. That we've got to progress. That we've got to do like Brother Dale in that vision that he had. Helping the people up. Get them up into the what? In the astronaut age. Get them up where we can get out of here because that spaceship left. And we were in it. We're going to get out of here whether you like it or not. I like it. Amen. I'm 64. I like it a lot more than I did when I was 54. But the fifth age, all right, it went in the ground in the fourth age. Fifth age, what happened? Two little shoots come up. It was a true message. Remember, God don't have faults. But Luther had only enough to get the life of those two shoots up out of the ground. All right, God was happy and pleased with that. He loved it. Because if you didn't have them two and the photosynthesis and the what? The growth. If that seed would have stayed in the ground, Jesus told us if it stayed in the ground and died, it'd abide alone. But if it comes forth, it'll bring forth what? Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and then you people that are sitting here today. But they couldn't get all the way out. They drug some baggage with them. They drug some ideas that were not God's revelation. But God winked at that and said, okay, that's all right. Because every age I'm going to shed that off. I'm going to shed it off. I'm going to get my people honed, as Brother Branham said. The honing age is now. The honing age was not Luther's age, not Wesley's age, not Pentecost age. It's this age. Right. You say, what age are you talking about? I'm talking about the bride age. Right. I'm talking about that 50, getting us out of the church ages. Right. If you got a church age mentality, you're going to die. Spiritually. We got to move up. Now, Brother Brown tells us on the Sardesian church age, now the three elements that worked in those three church ages, three elements, what? Justification, sanctification, baptism, and the Holy Ghost. That's what it takes to constitute the full birth. That's why me and you are standing here today. We constitute the full birth. We are the wheat at the end of the plant. Well, if that don't excite you, then you need to find something to excite you then. Get a shot of something. Well, you get happy at ball game. You get happy when you see a friend you hadn't seen for a long time. Well, maybe not, but you do, if you like them a lot. We get excited about a lot of things, but when you preach the word of God, it's just they just sit there. Amen. There's something inside of you ought to boil up. Amen. And at least go, amen. Right. Do you know what amen does? Amen breaks the airwaves and pushes it back toward me. But if not, then you're just sucking air back that way. But when you say amen, you're pushing out some air with an amen behind it. And amen means so be it. I believe what you're saying. I believe what you're saying. That's what it takes to constitute the full birth. They were only conceived as a little germ in the womb of the mother. That's right, the Holy Ghost coming to birth. The last three church ages forms the complete birth. Amen. All right? Now, not that they didn't have the complete birth over here. But Luther had justification. He smoked a pipe and drank a beer. Now, some things you think, boy, that's kind of evil. It's really, it is now. But back then, it was a German. Germans even now drink beer like we drink tea. But he didn't have anything to carry him further. He just honed in on the just shall live by faith. Get out of that system. And I'm sure if you heard him preach, he probably preached in Revelations. Come out of her, my people. But pieces of that stayed in him, not in his soul. But in his spirit realm. Satan was still riding. Come on. Satan was still riding that dark horse. Sorry. That's why it had to be exposed in the end time. where it was coming from, who it was, and what's going on. Amen. Anything contrary to the word of God is the devil. There's no second person or third person. Let's skip some of this. So justification is the outer court. And remember, what about the outer court? Now look, the outer court, if you look at it when you go out the door and turn to the left, you'll see the situation of the tabernacle. The outer court was just walls up, but there was no cover over it. If it was dark, it was dark. If it was raining, it was raining. If it was 99 degrees, it was 99 degrees. Right? That's the way justification is. But you got to push your, come on, people. You got to push your way into the next realm. You got to push your way into sanctification. You got to push yourself into the new birth. You got to walk from one to the other to the other. When you get in that second realm, which is the realm of sanctification, you do have a cover over you. But remember, the light is still artificial. The light is still candles. It can go. But you're closer to God.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about the sun and the moon and the stars and the sky. You're inside of a place that just you and a few other priests can go in and out. But remember, you got to go on back to the next one where it's just you and God by yourself.
Right.
You and God alone, nobody else, not your preacher, not Brother Branham. You got to go back there by yourself. That's why I want to caution you. Do not ever put your experience on somebody else's.
Amen.
Well, Brother Dale had it. That's fine. I need it.
Amen.
I don't get it because he's got it.
Amen.
That's what I said many times. I've seen many, many, many times in the message when a pastor dies or a pastor moves somewhere else, a lot of the people leave. Or they get cold. Why? Their Holy Ghost left.
Amen.
I'm going to preach anyway. I'm standing here.
Right.
Your Holy Ghost left. You put so much on that person. You know what God will do? He'll take that person out of the way.
That's right.
Amen.
God does not share his glory with nobody.
Amen.
I put my trust in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Through a ministry that we are sitting under, that we're going to continue under as long as I'm here. We're going to continue under that. But don't you ever put your faith in me. You put your faith in us both contacting God together.
Amen.
Everybody with me? Contacting God together. Put your faith in that. Because I'll fail you. I promise you, I'm a human. But God will never fail. As long as I tell you the truth, Chris Long said, you preach the word of God and they can't talk about you. Not preaching the word of God. Because, if I'm over here doing something else, not bad, but I mean something you don't like. Remember, we all got things we don't like. But right here is where the sacred comes.
Amen. That's right.
I stand in the Holy of Holies before you get there. But don't put your sights on me to get you back there. Now, through us, through the ministry, we'll get somewhere. But don't ever put your Holy Ghost on a person except Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you'll put your, it doesn't matter because you know what? God's going to shake this thing and he's already shaking it. He's going to shake us. He's going to do, as the old man said, he's going to shake you in the liver. He's going to make your liver shake. He's going to shake this thing to find out who's in and who's out. But don't put your confidence in anybody but Jesus Christ. You can put your confidence in the fivefold ministry, but that's five folds. That's a team. We're working as a team together, and you're working as a team together. You have a ministry just like I do. All
right,
I've got to do the first thing, though. I got to take of the first fruits and give it out to you. But then what do you do with it? Well, that's fine. That's great, Brother Wayne. You got it. I know you got it. No, you don't. I can be the biggest deceiver standing here today you ever see in your life. But you better be able to discern it.
Right.
Amen. You better be able to discern whether I am or not. That's what I put my faith in. When I sit under Brother Dale's ministry, I'm looking at me to make sure I'm right and that I can receive what God has through a person. We're only vessels. We're only somebody that God uses. And when he's finished with us, he takes us out of the way. But until that, we're still going to fight. We're going to fight with everything we got. There's many people today that's never went any further than the outer court. What? They depend on something else.
That's right.
Yet they are Christians. Oh, Brother Branham, be careful. I'm telling you what he said. By the millions, what? The confession. Bible says, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ has come to save you, then you'll be saved. All right? Believe that. John 3:16. That's baby justification. But if you continue to walk further, you got to have another experience called sanctification. Because you can't go meet God as an unclean vessel. That's why we got to get into John Wesley, to where he preached all the time sanctification. He was an Englishman. He come to the fact that, hey, dude, y'all can sit there and drink tea all day if you want to. It has no value to it at all. You know what he was saying? You're wasting your time sitting having a tea party when you ought to be at church listening to the Word of God. I say the same thing. Well, people don't come to church half the time. They got all of the other things they got to do. If you become a real good Christian, I promise you, you won't have to. I'm sorry. Why do we strive to come to church and others don't? Why? There's something different. God don't make exceptions. Well, you can get quiet if you want to. But it's the truth. They enjoy, look, watch. They enjoy Christ in an outward form.
Amen.
Good preaching, brother, but go home and don't live it. They go to church with the consolation of knowing they belong to spoken word church. But they have never become hid away with him in the inner court. I'm just reading you the message, what the message said. Brother Ryan's telling us. Brother Ram said in the hidden life, he said, you got sunlight. Some days are cloudy. Some days the sun don't shine at all. Some days it's dark. Now, that's in the outer court. But remember, as Brother Ram always said, don't take sunny days as God's approval of what you're doing. But also don't take the dark, dreary days that God's left you. Because he'll never leave you. You may leave him, but he'll never leave you. So we read the Philadelphian church age. We'll watch a couple of points here, and then we'll get to Martin Luther, and we'll be done. I'm John Wesley. He that hath the key of David, now watch, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Now, that wasn't true in the fifth church age. This is the sixth church age. This is the Philadelphian church age. This is going to be the age that Livingston, David Livingston, you've read about Stanley and Livingston? Well, David Livingston was a really great, great, great missionary. I think he got killed over there, too, didn't he? Aaron, did he get killed over in Africa doing work or wherever it was, India? He got killed somewhere doing work. But anyway, it was a great missionary age. You see all these other different things, Calvin, Swingley. You hear these names, Dwight Moody, and all the names that you hear, they were of God. But some of them were still in the Reformation, though. They weren't in the Restoration. They were in the Reformation. If Moody was a Trinitarian, he wasn't a restorer. Now, he might be a great man of God for his time. Do you hear me? Brother Brown said Moody sent millions to heaven. So I'll say he'll probably be there, too. But he didn't have a restoring message. He had a reforming message. That's why Brother Brown had to come. But they were stacked up, and Brother Brown just stood right there on top of them. He said, I preach what Paul preached. He said, I didn't preach what Dwight Moody preached. He kept referring to, I preach what Paul preached. I preach what Paul preached. He gave honor to all those other ones. But he was a restoring prophet to restore us back to the faith of the fathers. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make of them the synagogue of Satan. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit later. So we'll continue on down. I want to get to this right here. The age starting 1750 to 1906, and that Philadelphia actually means love of brethren or brotherly love. All right. Revelation 3 verse 8, I know thy works. Now watch. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. So in other words, there's a door open. Now remember, look, That's an open door to the missionary. That's not an open door to the SEALs. The SEALs didn't open under Martin Luther. I mean, John Wesley. So it was an open door for the people to get the salvation message of Jesus Christ to the world. And no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my name. It didn't say it was full strength, had a little strength. And that's not denied my name. A little strength. Listen, this was still an unfulfilled age. Martin Luther was. John Wesley was an unfulfilled age. Pentecost was an unfulfilled age. This age right here is the only age, if you've called out of it, that's going to be a very filled, fulfilled age. All right, now listen. The first phrase of this verse, I know thy works, is analyzed in the rest of the verse. For their works had to do with the open door. Little strength, word in the name. In order to understand the wealth of the meaning involved in behold, I set before thee an open door, no man can shut it. We must now recall what has been said about each age running over into another. He's talking about the lap over. We've been talking about this for a long time. There's an overlap, a melting or fading into, rather, than an abrupt end and a clear-cut start. This age particularly flows into the next age. And not only does that age overflow into the last age, talking about our age, you know why it had to? We need sanctification. We need John Wesley's sanctification. The seventh age, a very short age, gathers up into itself for one quick work all the evil of every age and all the reality, though, of Pentecost. Once the Philadelphian age has about run its course, the Laodicean age quickly comes in, bringing forth both the tares and wheat to harvest. You can't bring it to harvest like this. That's Luther. You can't bring it to harvest as Wesley. The shoot are coming up. You can't do it as a shuck. Shuck just covers or covers over the real wheat. Well, you and I are the real wheat, but Pentecost was the cover. We'll get into that a little bit later because there is a Pentecostal age just like there was in Paul's age. There's going to be one in this age, all right? Real quick. Remember, please, that the Sardesian age started the Reformation that must still go on until the grain that was planted at Pentecost goes through the full cycle of planting, watering, nourishing until it comes right back to an original seed. While this is going on, the tares that were sown will have to go through their cycle too. Listen, Brother Branham come and preach the powerfulest message since Jesus Christ. Does everybody agree with that? Amen. The most powerful message ever been preached since Jesus Christ. He didn't destroy one denomination. There was 900 something when he was preaching. There's 13,000 now. Amen. But he got into a heart of a group of people. That's what he was looking for. He wasn't looking for a great big church on the side of the road, a big denominational church. He was looking for individual people. I want you to see something here. God works in threes, doesn't he? It was in the third or Pergamian age that the church was married to the state. Now, he went way back to the third age that the church was married to the state. The deeds of the Nicolaitans had become the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. That age was the open door for the false vine. Amen. Okay. Once it was backed up by the power of the state, it became actually a world system, even though it bore the name Christian. Thus, it spread like wildfire. But now, three ages later, now that was the third age, fourth, fifth, sixth. Is everybody with me? That's Brother Brown, one, two, three, four, five, six. We're going to see an open door for the truth. Right. Now listen, Brother Branham walked through that door. Amen. Remember, the Bible says he opens and nobody can shut it. Right. So once the true word was opened, they had a little bit of it. But Brother Branham walked through. That's why he said, you got to have Luther. Justification. You got to have Wesley sanctification. You got to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost as the Pentecostals had it. Right. We can't have furtherance of the word without that. Right. That fourth stage has got to be the culmination of those three. Plus. Amen. Somebody say amen. You didn't understand that? I'll explain it to you again. Four bugs eat it, right? Amen. Four bugs. According to Joel, I can't remember them all, but it's the same bug in different stages. Four of them. So four life messengers had to bring it back. Right. So you had the lion, ox, man, and eagle. All right, everybody with me? Right. Then you had Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and then the full word restored through Brother Branham's ministry. So it exactly is in those four stages. We are now in the not the this, not the that, not the shuck, full grain. After a long and hard struggle of faith, here comes the open door to the truth. The word of the Lord now has its day. Of course, the fifth age had set the stage for this mighty move, as that age gave us exploration, colonization, printing of books, etc. So now John Wesley was born in 1703 to 1791. I'll read this just real quick and then we'll close. The messenger to this age was without doubt John Wesley. John Wesley was born in Epworth in England, June 17, 1703, and was one of 19 children. Well, praise the Lord. How did he find time to preach? His daddy. His daddy's name was Samuel and Susanna Wesley. His father was a chaplain in the Church of England. But it is more than likely that the religious turn of John's mind was based upon his mother's exemplary life than upon his father's theology. John was a brilliant scholar. It was while he was at Oxford that he and Charles, remember Charles is his brother, all right, everybody with me on that, became part of a group who was spiritually exercised to worship on the basis of experimentally living the truth rather than making doctrine their standard. Now watch why. This is why. That's why he's called the move, it's called a Methodist move. It is a method of worship that they didn't have in the other age. All right? If you'll go to a Methodist church, don't be scared. If you go to a Methodist church, they'll have it in their songbook. You can open their songbook up and it'll tell you what John Wesley told them to do. They don't do it. They drew up a spiritual guide of works, such as giving to the poor, visiting the sick, and the imprisoned. For this they were called Methodists. In other words, they had a method to do things. And other derisive titles. Now, John was sufficiently imbued by his vision of the need of religion. Now, watch this. John thought he was born again. It'll prove to you, right? John thought he was born again. He was going to America. He actually colonized Savannah. He came into Savannah, stayed several years. Charles did too. Charles got in trouble. Well, that's a whole other thing. He went to Florida. That was his first trouble. Nothing against Florida, but I'm glad it's below us. Where was I? So he went to America as a missionary amongst the Indians. He was going to go and take his new birth, his Christianity, and he was going to give it to the Indians. Boy, did he get awakening. If you read his whole story, it was one calamity after another. They didn't like that man. James Edward Oglethorpe that founded Savannah, he was a buddy of John Wesley's, or he'd have shipped him back a lot sooner than that. But he tried to send him over here, and it wouldn't work. Tried to send him. Why? That wasn't his job at that time. Amen. John Wesley wasn't even born again, he found out. All right. On his way there, he found that many of the ship's passengers were Moravians. He was deeply impressed by their meekness, peace, and courage in all circumstances. In other words, there was a big storm came up. And they were all having a hissy fit, and the Moravians were downstairs singing and praying. John was impressed with that. His labors in Georgia, in spite of self-denials and hard work, was a failure. He returned to England crying, "I went to America to convert the Indians, but oh, who shall convert me?" Back in London, he again met the Moravians. It was Paul Boiler who showed him the way of salvation. He was truly born again, much to the dismay. If you'll read the book, Charles got angry because Charles was like, he built his, listen, I'm telling you one more time. He built his experience on John's. Amen. He said, "John, you're already born again. John, you're already this. John wasn't." Amen. But watch this. He was angry because what he was saying, "John, you're denying this is your born again experience," which he was. Who could not understand how such a spiritual man as John should say he was not formerly right with God. It was, however, not long after that Charles, too, was saved by grace. The work soon took on such proportions that he began sending out numerous laymen, that's the open door, to preach the word. This seemed like a parallel to Pentecost, where the Spirit raised up men with power to preach and teach the Word of God almost overnight. So here's your missionary age. There was violent opposition to his work, but God was with him. Let's stand to our feet. Come on, musicians, we'll stop right there. There was a time when John Wesley got kicked out of all the churches. He even got kicked out of his daddy's. If you'll keep reading in his history. And he couldn't preach anywhere. They wouldn't even let him in the building to preach. And his poor old daddy had passed away. And they made a mausoleum of it. You know, put him about that high off the ground. Didn't bury him, but put a granite thing. He walked out there and he told Charles, he said, "Put my pulpit on my daddy's grave." They put the pulpit on daddy's grave. Charles did, and he started preaching. Somebody came up and said something. He said, "Uh-uh." He said, "My daddy owns this land. I'm standing on my daddy's land. I'm not standing on your land. I'm standing on my daddy's land. And while I'm here, you can't knock me off." And he preached. I mean, there would be hundreds and then thousands would be. You saw the power of God working in a man's life. But what did he do? He absolutely, one more time, he preached a year. He preached 800 sermons a year. He traveled 4,500 miles 1 year by horse. We can't get to church on time. Horse! He had to feed that thing. He had to water it. He had to bathe it. He had to pray for it. One time it broke his leg. He had to pray for it to get his leg healed back up. So, but that's the power of God in a man that yielded himself to the work of God. Let's yield ourselves now. We're in the open door. We're now in the open book. Right. We have no excuse to not have the power of God working in our life. We have no excuse whatsoever. If they can have it, I can have it. If they can have it, you can have it. Amen. Let's sing a song. God bless you. If you have a need, real quick.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Oh, you love the Lord?
I was lost.
You remember your journey?
But now
for the truth.
'Twas grace that taught my heart.
All of the people down through the ages, brothers and sisters, they're waiting on me and you. Sure, they had an open door, but they didn't have the fullness of the Word of God. They only had part of it. And now here we are standing with the fullness of the Word of God. What are we doing with it? I challenge you to do something with what you got. And if you don't have it, I challenge you to get it. We can heat that water real quick if you need to be baptized. But I want you baptized with the Holy Ghost. I want us filled with the Holy Ghost. Sure, we're going to have problems. Sure, we're going to have trials. This song was written by a man that was a slave runner. Hello? Something struck him one day.
'Tis grace that has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
Sing it to him.
Oh, when we've been there.
Trials, tribulations are done. God's hid us in his pavilion by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He took our judgment so that we don't have to stand before the judgment seat of God. Thank God for Jesus Christ to come on this earth and pay the price so that we don't have to pay it. Say praise God, we'll go home.
Oh, praise God.
Praise God for what you've heard, the message of the hour. Praise God for the people that you're associated with. associated with. Praise God for the anointing that you felt.
Praise God.
For the words of exhortation you give someone before. The laying on of hands, the healing of the sick. Praise Him for it. Praise God. It sure wasn't the devil, I promise you that.
Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You think about that old John Newton, I think it was, or what was his name? Aaron, what was his name? The guy that wrote, John Newton, that wrote Amazing Grace?
Yeah.
He sat up on a ship and he looked down and he watched the slaves. They were bound. They were going away from a home that they didn't even know anything about. They were going to America to be slaves. They were chained and shackled up. And they didn't sing those words. They sang a song with that tune to it. John Newton, the inspiration struck him, and he wrote those words. And there's several other verses. There's like six or seven verses of this Amazing Grace that he wrote because he saw something in those people that were enslaved, that were being taken from their home, that were being taken from their family. Very families were torn apart. But John Newton looked down in that boat, and he could look down and see the slaves. And they weren't grumbling. I'm just going to say it. They weren't grumbling. They weren't a wowsy, wowsy, woo. They were singing a praise song in the bottom of that boat, going to a place they didn't know anything about, and going to be, who knows where they were going to end up, Georgia, Louisiana, Florida, South Carolina. They were just going to be dispersed everywhere. But they didn't let it bother them. Their present situation only made them stronger. And I thank God for that. If you're a real true Christian, that's what will happen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day you give us. Thank you for the time you've given us, Lord, to speak to the greatest people on the face of the earth, Lord. I truly believe that. And Father, I pray that you'd be with us now as we go on our highways home. Lord, be with us in the service this coming Friday, Lord, at 7 o'clock there with Brother Mike. Lord, just give him an anointing to speak to us, Father, and Brother Chris. We'll be here Saturday, Lord, at 3 o'clock, and then regular Sunday, one service Sunday morning, Lord. Then we'll have an anniversary, Lord, that Brother Dale started so many years ago, Lord. And here we come to the anniversary now. It'll be 53 years coming up, Lord. And I pray that you'd just be with us, Lord, and take care of us. Bless us on the highways. Bless us this coming weekend. Bless the children up there and the young adults that are at BYC, Lord. I pray that you'd, Lord, fill them with the Holy Ghost if they need it, Lord. Give them salvation. Bless the ones that are in the kitchen and the adults that are working up there for here from the church and other churches. Lord, I pray that you'd give them supernatural strength. Lord, we know how it is to be 3 or 4 or 5 days cooking food. And, Lord, we pray that you'd give them strength, Father, and just bless them now. Bring them back home safe, Lord, and just may we continue this work and this walk, Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God, praise God, praise God.